With me over to the book of Acts. No, I just, that's out of habit. We didn't get to finish Acts together, you know, but I thought about it. This is the Thanksgiving service, and I thought about using the text where Paul gets to talk to the Ephesian elders, and I realized I couldn't do that. But we are going to look at some texts that Paul has written to churches, churches that we have been introduced to in the book of Acts in our series, the Luke-Acts series. So we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1. The important thing to remember before we get into this is Paul is thanking God. And Thanksgiving, a lot of times we get confused about being thankful for this and that and our gratitude and all that, but it is all directed to God. God, the giver of all good things. God that we ask in the Lord's Prayer to provide for us what we need today, to provide the forgiveness that we need, to provide the direction that we need, and to keep us from evil. It is about God. And so that's important to remember as we look at these passages. And I chose them because we've been introduced to these churches, but because they talk about what Paul's gratitude was about when he thought about these people. And when I think about you in the last 4.5+ years that we've had together and the things that I am grateful for, they're reflected in these passages. So I'm going to try to keep up because all these are looking very small today to me. I may end up turning around and just looking at the text. So the church in Ephesus, we left Paul there, and we know that this letter went to the whole Asia Minor. Some people he met, some people he hasn't met. But in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15, he says, "For this reason, I, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, have never stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." Paul said, some of you that I hadn't met came to a faith. And, you know, we came to Sun City, and a lot of us came to faith before we ever came here. The important thing is what he said, that you continue to know him better. So Paul says, I never stop giving thanks. And I have noticed the spirit of people wanting to delve into their spiritual life, to grow spiritually here. And I will never stop giving thanks for that, because some of us are different people spiritually than we were 4.5 years ago, or 6 months ago, or a year ago. Whenever we got serious about knowing God better, because that's what we do. We look at Jesus. And my role as a pastor has been to point you to Jesus, to keep pointing you to Jesus, so you can know God better. Your relationship can deepen and carry on as you grow spiritually. Let's turn over to, what's the next one we have? It's in Philippians. Now, we remember the church in Philippi, where Paul went over to, I tell you, that big gulf between Eastern and Western thought, and he started a church in Europe, in Philippi. In verse 3, he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Yeah, from the very beginning of our time here at Sun City, it was about ministering about Jesus, that partnership. Yeah, some of you had interests like I have, you know, when some of us enjoyed doing things that weren't church things, weren't spiritual things, but that's not what it was about. What was it about was our partnership in Jesus. And Paul mentions joy here. He said, it's with joy. Every time I think about you, you remember what happened in Philippi? He got beat with rods, without a trial, spent the night in prison, went through that earthquake there. Yeah, with joy, he remembers what they had together in their partnership. You remember what we've been through in the last 4.5 years? Yeah, there's been some turmoil. Inside, outside. You remember COVID? Well, let me just remind you. You guys remember. Yeah. Do you remember when our elders rose to the occasion and made phone calls to make sure everybody was okay because we couldn't meet, we couldn't see each other? Because of their partnership in the gospel. Because of those things. I can look back on those with joy. Yeah, there were some hard times. And you might have had hard times with me, and we're going to get a chance to offer that grace that we sang about. Grace, grace, God's grace. We're going to get a chance to offer that to each other in a forgiveness setting later today. With joy. Hopefully there's joy. And if there's not, then we got to look at that passage that we studied in Galatians that says, what happened to your joy? Where did it go? Because if there's not joy, then we know it hasn't been the Spirit of God at work. Because the Spirit of God produces love, joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and gentleness, and faithfulness, and self-control. That's what God has been producing in your life and in my life and in our ministry together. There's been some tough times, but we can remember. We can remember it in joy. Let's go over to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Remember when Paul was chased out of Philippi? He went to Thessalonica and started a church there. And this church gets two letters. It's a wonderful church. And they didn't have much of a Jewish spiritual background. And so they always had a lot of questions. And Paul wrote two letters to them. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we start in verse 2. He says, we, because he wasn't alone in that ministry there. He's talking about Silas and Timothy. We always thank God for all of you. All of you. Yeah. Yeah, all of you. You know, I've been praying for all of you by name. I mean, thank God for all of you. The ones that are happy, the ones that aren't happy. The ones that are struggling, the ones that are doing well. I thank God for all of you. Mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Work, labor, and endurance. The things that we did together, the things that came out of our faith, the things that we labored for. Yeah, and we have people who use their gifts and they labor. They labor. And some of them you know, some of them you see, some of them you get a chance to see their gifts, some of them are in the background, and you know, maybe you never got in the kitchen and thanked them. You know, sometimes we have a blessing of the quilts, and you see the labor and the love that went into those, and you get to share that. All of those things come because of Jesus. Those folks behind you in the booth, laboring, working with endurance. Yeah. I've seen amazing things here. I've seen my friend Julie get over her fear of computers and programs and just and Bill keep up with me every week. I see all the things that Glenn does. I know what it means for Barb to come in and do financial things. I get to know those things, those labors produced by love. And I thank my God for you for that. And all the ones that I maybe not even on my radar, you know, the notes that you write to each other, the way that you make phone calls to each other, the way they encourage each other, the way that you go stay with each other when somebody's coming back from the hospital. Those things inspired by your love for Jesus. Always give thanks to you, all of you, remembering you in my prayers. There's another passage in 1 Thessalonians. In chapter 2, verse 13, he says, "And we always thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." This is what I really appreciate about Sun City Christian Church. Willing to jump in deep into scriptures and go through series of books, Mark, Galatians, Luke, Acts. We've done so many together. But you would work on your skills of understanding God's word, the author's original intent to his original audience. And then you would work on your skills of applying it. And you know, people would say things to me in the back, "Hey, that was a great sermon." And I say, "Well, yeah, Luke wrote it." I'm not very good at taking compliments. I'm not. But that's what it was. And you patiently worked on those skills for the last 4.5 years. You worked on saying, "That's what the Bible says. That's what God wants me to know." And you have those skills that you can carry on. My Bible study on Wednesday mornings, love my Bible study. Got a chance to just progressively get deeper and deeper into the text until I had a bunch of theologians there. It was fantastic. It was so encouraging. Because you didn't say it as, "Oh, this is Gary's opinion." Because you don't have to even agree with what I say about the text. You don't. That's a great thing about being a disciple. You can withhold judgments. You can agree or disagree, but you can't do any of that until you understand the author's original intent to his original audience. Yeah. And you guys have been so good at that, and so patient at times. Yeah, there's sections in the book of Galatians like, "Hey, can we just skip that?" Well, we didn't skip any of it, did we? Yeah. I thank my God for you. In chapter 3, verse 9, it says here, "How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our Lord, of our God, because of you?" How? You know, have you searched for ways to say thank you? You know, really dug down. How? How do we say thanks, God? How do we say thanks for the last 4.5 years I've had you? Yeah. God has been at work. We're going to go over to another text now, and I don't have that written down here. So, in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Here's a we ought. You know, when was the last time we ought to have done that? Okay. And Paul, knowing that he's not perfect in all of these things, he says things like, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, because sometimes he didn't. Sometimes when conflicts get in the way and your own sinful nature gets in the way and you quit being thankful. But he says, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. And I have seen that. I have seen that. Through tough times, through good times, I've seen relationships flourish and build. I've seen people learn to love people that they didn't think they could love before. I've seen people learn to love people in other cultures. I've seen people who now pray for what's going on in global ministries in different lands and different cultures and different languages because they want them to know about Jesus. We ought always to. We don't always do that, but we ought to. We ought to. Because any little sign that your love is increasing, praise God. That is the Spirit at work. We're going to go to another passage, and this is one that we did not look at. And I don't have you. It's the last one. Remember I told you that Paul's 13 books are written, and they're not put in chronological order. They're put in the order of the longest to the shortest, Romans being the longest. And yeah, well, this is the last one, written to a guy named Philemon or Philemon. And we can agree to disagree on how to say that, which was hard for my students in Africa. Because it had to be Philemon for them, which didn't make sense because they used to pronounce every syllable. Anyway, Philemon is the way I grew up saying it. Philemon was a person who was converted by Paul. He owned a slave. The slave ran away. When Paul was in prison at Rome, at the end of the book of Acts, this slave looked him up, and Paul took him in. And he decided he needed to go back to Philemon because that was the right thing to do. And Paul wrote this letter and said, hey, please take him back. His name was Onesimus. Onesimus means useful. That's what it means in Greek. And he uses a word play there. He said, at one time he was not Onesimus. Now he is Onesimus to you because he is more than a slave. He is a brother in Christ. So, when Paul writes this, he, in verse 4, notice you don't have to say chapter 1 because there's only one chapter. Okay, verse 4. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your love and your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Yeah. I pray that you might be active in sharing your faith so the church will grow. He says, I want you to know all the good things you have in Jesus. And here's the way to do that. You talk to people who don't have faith, and you share your faith, and you will remember all the good things that you have in Christ. Yeah. And I pray that that is going to continue to be the ministry of Sun City Christian Church, not just here in our community, but in our connection with global ministries, our connection with the region, our connection with the General Assembly, our connection with the people that need to know about Jesus, so we can remember all the good things that we have in Jesus. I remember forgiveness. I remember it every Sunday. And as my ministry here ends with you, I want to remember forgiveness from you and for you. So I've chosen to do this dialogue, a dialogue in forgiveness. And it's a responsive reading. And you guys will probably get better at responsive readings. It's been a while. And I've asked Rick to come and lead your part in the responsive reading. And I have to tell you, even though this is about you, I'd love to be able to read it off of there, but it's not going to happen today. So, and I couldn't memorize it, so I'm going to turn and read it off of here. So that's my part, the part that says Gary. Gary, that means me. Okay, all right. And your part is the part that says congregation, okay? All right. One of the hardest parts of saying goodbye is sorting through our memories and feelings.
Memories of good times and bad times come flooding into our conscious minds, each one invoking deep feelings within us.
We are reminded of our accomplishments.
And we are filled with pride.
We are reminded of our failures.
And we are filled with disappointment.
We are reminded of times when we stopped to minister to the needs of a brother or sister, reaching out in love.
And we lift our heads to hear the acclamation of our Lord saying, "Well done, faithful servant."
We are reminded of times when we found our brother or sister lying hurt on the side of life's road in need of our help, and yet we crossed the road and walked by on the other side.
And we hang our heads and cover our ears lest we hear the condemnation of our Lord. But even with our ears covered, we feel Christ's pain in our hearts.
Oh God, you promised to forgive us and call us to forgive one another.
Hear our litany of confession and forgiveness.
My friends, for the times when I've said the wrong thing or left things unsaid, when I've done the wrong thing or left something undone, or when I've been there at the wrong time or failed to be there at all, I ask your forgiveness.
We hear your confession and we offer the gift of our forgiveness. And when we give thanks to God for those times when you demonstrated God's love.
Thanks be to God.
Our friend, for the times when we have said the wrong thing or left things unsaid, when we have done the or left something undone, or when we have been there at the wrong time or failed to be there at all, we ask your forgiveness.
I hear your confession, and I offer the gift of my forgiveness. I give thanks to God for those times when you have offered God's word of hope, demonstrated God's grace, and made flesh God's love in my life and the lives of my family.
Thanks be to God.
My friends, let us hold fast to the promise of God in Christ Jesus. Each death is an opportunity for new life.
Christ Jesus, there is grace for each one of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And we pray today, forgive us as we forgive each other. And I am so grateful for your forgiveness. At this point, I'm going to ask some very, very special people to come down and be with me in front of the communion table here. You know who you are, our elders. Please come and be with us. You guys, why don't we be down here? We don't have to climb upstairs. We are blessed with spiritually mature people who we can look to for spiritual advice. And we've lost some elders since I've been here, and I miss them dearly. We have new elders coming on, people to serve, to give, to love. And this is a symbol of what it means to be a shepherd, which is a synonym for elder or presbyter in your New Testament. But it's given usually to the pastor that has been called to give direction. And I was called to do that 4.5 years ago. And so now I want to pass that on so it can be passed on to somebody else. So in that, I'm going to ask that the elders accept this as their charge to give to somebody new and to continue on as shepherds of this congregation and the flock. I'd like to pray, and then I'm going to ask, are you going to pray? I'm going to ask Paula to pray since she has a microphone in her hand. Please bow together with us. God, I thank you so much for my time here at Sun City Christian. Father, thank you so much for the good times and the hard times. Thank you for the conflicts. Thank you for the victories. Thank you for the people that came to a faith. Thank you for those who've been strengthened in their faith. Thank you for all the work that's gone on. Thank you for all the ways that they've glorified you. And God, thank you for the privilege of working together. Father, thank you so much for developing the love for Jesus and the spiritual wisdom that people could be called elders and acknowledged that way. And thank you so much for these people that stand up here with me and for those who have passed on to Jesus ahead of us. God, bless them. Bless Reverend Brett as he continues on the work here. And Father, we ask this for your glory in Jesus' name.
Dear God, we thank you for Pastor Gary. We thank you, God, for our brother Gary Llewellyn that we have here that has always pointed us to you, Lord. We thank you, God, for the teaching that he has showed us and taught us always about you, Jesus. We ask, God, that you watch over Gary, that you protect him from head to foot, that you grant him with peace and joy in his adventure, and that he would see you everywhere, and that he would know people that would know you, and that he would continue his good work that he has done for you, Lord. Thank you, God, for this time. We also pray for Reverend Brett Winters as he comes to be our new shepherd, and we pray for his family situation now. And Lord, we just hope that he accepts the staff as well as Gary passes it off to him. And we thank you, God, for our dear shepherd, Pastor Gary. Watch over him and keep him safe. You have taught us in your word in Isaiah, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I get hugs from all of you.
You guys can go back to your chairs now.
Thank you.